The following is paid commercial programming. Third-party rankings are no guarantee of future investment success. Working with a highly rated advisor does not ensure that a client or prospective client will experience a high level of performance. Investment performance is not an explicit criterion because clients' investment goals differ. These ratings should not be construed as an endorsement of the advisor by any client. Generally, rankings are based on information prepared and submitted by the advisor. Statements saying that we told our clients to be out of the market in 2008 refer to recommendations made by NMWKM's principals while employed at Eagle Strategies LLC. The team that manages accounts at NMWKM are the same individuals with that responsibility at Eagle Strategies and at Cambridge Research from 2009 to 2011. NMWKM was created in 2011 and uses the same exit strategy. A more thorough disclosure of the criteria used in making these rankings is available by contacting NMWKM Advisors LLC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Money Matters. And here's your host, Ken Moray.
We're in the money. We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along.
We are in the money. The skies are sunny. And old man recession, you have done us wrong. Well, hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. This is the show where we talk about everything and anything in the world of retirement planning. We talk about the stock market. We'll talk about the pandemic, of course. We'll talk about Social Security, about estate planning, you name it. We will talk about it, and we'll try to have more fun than a human being should be allowed to have when talking about all of this boring financial stuff. And this week's going to be no exception because we have a show that is chock full of boring financial stuff. But before we go one step further, let me introduce myself. I am Ken Morafe, the host of Money Matters with Ken Morafe. Well, thank you, Jack. And I am a founder and senior retirement planner at Retirement Planners of America. And we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning. So we work with the most wonderful people in the entire universe. We work with people who are within 5 years of retirement or their first 5 years that they have been retired already. So within that 10-year period, that's where most of our clients lie. That's what everything we do is designed around. And we have two goals. One is for your money to last as long as you do. And secondly, we want you to have financial peace of mind. We want you to go and enjoy your retirement. We call it your second childhood without parental supervision. And that's what this show is designed to help you do, and hopefully you will. And before I leave all of this, I just want to tell you, because if I don't, nobody else will, that recently Barron's named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 financial advisors. Actually, they did so 8 years in a row, which is remarkable to me. But I know that without our beloved and most valued clients, we would be nowhere. So all you clients, we love you. We thank you. We are so grateful. And gosh, anyway, I am in such a good mood. I hope you are. We have a fantastic show lined up for you. So let me go over with you what we're going to talk about on this, our weekly excursion into the land of retirement planning. So first of all, one of the questions that I've been asked, it seems like by every single person that I've talked with, is, hey, you know, this market, the Dow, is setting all-time highs every week. It's like every other day. It's a new all-time high. Is this a bubble? Are we headed for a crash? What's going to happen? So I want to talk with you about that because I have some definite opinions about that. Now, also, we want to talk this week about you just inherited a retirement account, or you're about to inherit a retirement account. There are four things you need to know, okay? So if someone that you has left you as an inheritance a retirement account, before you do anything, there's some things you need to think about, and we want to go over that with you. Also this week, as we do every week, we have strategies to get the most out of Social Security, which is, I think, one of the most complex systems maybe in the entire tax code. And so it's something that I don't think you should do by yourself. You should talk to a professional, but we're going to endeavor to give you some ideas and hopefully educate you. So we're going to have strategies to get the most out of your Social Security later on in the show. Now also, you know, one of the things that we believe in is having principles, having core values. Because whenever you have times of adversity, you need to have guiding principles that you can lean on that'll help you get through that. Okay, religions have it, businesses have it, and we believe that as investors for our clients, we need to have those principles as well. And so I want to go over with you our fifth investment principle, our Retirement Planners of America investment principle number 5, which is that our invest and protect strategy comes with opportunity cost. So I want to first of all go over with you what opportunity cost means, but also go over with you our strategy, which is to protect against, it's designed to protect against experiencing major losses in bad bear markets. And as you guys may know, last year in the pandemic, when it first hit and the market went down, the S&P went down over 40%, we told our clients to get out on March 10th, which was the day before the WHO even announced that there was a pandemic. So our strategy is like an early warning signal, if you will. It also told us to sell in November of 2007 before the great credit crisis and market crash of 2008. So, but the strategy does have opportunity costs. So we'll talk about that as well. So you know what, Jack? Most shows would stop right there. Most shows would say, you know what? If we did just that, we have done more than our listening audience could possibly want from a financial show.
I love it!
Yes, but on this show, do we stop right there? No, we don't. We boldly go where no financial show has gone before, and therefore, at about 10 till, we're going to answer the question that, ladies and gentlemen, I know you've been laying awake at night. You can't sleep. You're so worried about this question, and I want to answer you can get a good night's sleep. That's me. I want you to be able to put your head on your pillow and just go to sleep with no worries. And so, therefore, we're going to talk about the burning question. You know, are irrevocable trusts irrevocable? I mean, is it once you set that up, you can never change it? Is that a bad thing? I'm going to tell you why it can be not a bad thing, all right? And why an irrevocable trust might be something you should use in your estate planning. So we'll talk about that at about 10 till. So we have a show chock full of great stuff ready for you. Before we start, though, I want to kind of tell you something. My puppy, that is an 85-pound puppy at this point, a Noodle. So she's a giant poodle and a schnauzer blend. So she's a schnoodle, and we called her Noodle. So she's Noodle the Schnoodle. Okay, that way you can't forget her name. And but anyway, she is the smartest dog I've ever had in my entire life. She learned how to heel. She learned door etiquette. She learned, you know, all kinds of stuff. She's the best dog ever. She learns it in like 10 minutes. It's unbelievable. I think she speaks English. But the problem she has is that she's house training has been a chore. She is, it's been a long, she's 2 years old now, and finally I have confidence that she will not go inside the house. She hasn't had an accident in about 3 or 4 months, and so I'm confident. So now I'm going to start bringing her into the office. She's going to become our office mascot. So my previous dog, Mika, I used to bring into the office. Everybody loved her. She unfortunately passed. But now Noodle is going to be in the office bugging everybody for attention and eating their food if they leave it out, which, by the way, you shouldn't anyway. So let's talk about this market and these all-time highs every week. And is this a bubble? Well, how do I answer that question? I don't think that it's a bubble, but I've been doing this for 30 years, so I've been a student of the market for a long, long time. And one of the things that I have noticed about investors is, you know, they're emotional, and in my view, and they tend to overreact to stuff. And so when the news is bad, they tend to like freak out and panic and sell everything. And it's like everything goes down way more than it probably should. But the other side of the coin is true also, which is that when the news is really good, boy, they go crazy on the buy side. And so the economic data that we got here for March was blowout. I mean, the jobs numbers, retail sales numbers, the recovery, all the things that we told you were going to happen did in the month of March, which is a massive recovery. And we've said and continue to believe that we're going to have the greatest and fastest recovery in the history of our country. You know, the Great Depression, it took almost 25 years to recover from. This one we think we'll recover from in 1 year. So the recovery is going to be really, really fast as we see it. And that's going to have a lot of fantastic news. Profits are going to soar. Employment numbers are going to go up. Unemployment numbers will go down. We'll see all this great stuff. We're going to see retail sales through the roof, people traveling, going to movie theaters, restaurants opening, small businesses. The news is just going to be so great that investors are going to say, man, I just got to get in. If they're not, they're going to be even maybe too aggressive and start growing and this and that. And that's where I think the potential for the bubble is. And that is that they overshoot and it goes too high. And really, if you think about why it's doing all of this, is because people have stimulus checks. There's all the money they didn't spend last year that they want to spend this year. There's pent-up demand, opening of the economy. It won't last. This kind of spending and this kind of profit growth will not last. And when the realization of that comes, those of you who are old enough, you may remember Wile E. Coyote, okay, from the Bugs Bunny show. Well, Wile E. Coyote, for those of you who don't remember him, he would go running as fast as he could, and then all of a sudden he was like out in the middle of the air, and he looks down and there's nothing underneath him, and then he falls like 500 feet and crashes into the valley below. I think that's potentially what could happen with this market if it continues to go up and up and up like it has been. And then eventually people realize it can't go on forever. And that's when we'll see a correction and potentially a significant one. So what do you do about that? Well, our view is you ride the wave as long as you possibly can. Don't fight this. It's you know, if the market wants to go up, whether it's rational or not, it doesn't matter. We bid it as long as you can. But at the same time, it is our view that you should have a protection strategy when, and I think it's not if, it's when, the market decides that way it's gone up too much and it's going to start going down, and it may go down rapidly because I said people are emotional. And if it does that, you need to have a strategy, in my view, to protect against that downside. And in our firm, we have a strategy, which I'll go over with you in more detail later on in the show, but it's called Invest and Protect. Meaning, yes, you should invest, yes, you should buy, yes, you should hold, but you should also have a strategy to sell, to protect yourself. And it's the strategy that we used in 08, and it's a strategy we used last year, and we want to share that with you and talk about it with you. So here's what I want you to do. Go to our website. It's rpoa.com. retirementplannersofamerica.com. On there, we have articles, podcasts, videos about our strategy. You can also sign up for our seminars. We have seminars coming up next week on retirement planning in uncertain times. We also have educational events on Social Security planning. We have events on income tax planning. And these are live virtual events that you can attend. We have webinars. And all of that is at no charge or obligation. So if you go to our website, it's rpoa.com. You can sign up for that, and you'll get lots of stuff that you can learn from and hopefully benefit from. Okay, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, hey, you just are about to inherit or have inherited a retirement plan. Well, what do you need to think about? Four things we think you should think about. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. So I want to talk with you in this segment about inheriting a retirement account. Okay, so this would be like a 401k, an IRA, you know, those kind of things. And so it depends. It's actually pretty complex because you start with who are you? Okay, are you a spouse? Are you a child? Are you a friend or somebody who is not a family member? So all the rules are different depending. Well, I shouldn't say all the rules, but many of the rules are different depending on who you are. If you're a spouse, you have certain things you can do that a non-spouse can't. A non-spouse has things they can do, but they're different than what a spouse can do. So you start with that. But I don't want. So I've kind of given you that. So depending on who you are, it could change. So I'm just kind of giving you full disclosure on that. But there are four things. You have four basic options to think about. Okay, so the first one is, and this one is only spouses can do this, and that is that you can transfer the money to your own account. Okay, so if you inherit a retirement account from your spouse, you can transfer the assets into a retirement plan of your own. The rules about when and how you take the money, all of that become yours. Okay, so it's as if you own that account from day one. No one else ever owned it. Okay, sometimes that's a good idea, depending on your age. sometimes it is not a good idea. Okay, so again, these are all things to consider. Number two is you can transfer the money to an inherited IRA. Okay, this is different than the one I just said for a spouse. So if you transfer it to an inherited IRA, you've got two options there. It can be a Roth IRA, so you can transfer it to a Roth, meaning that all the money that is inside of the account will grow tax-free, but there are rules around when you will have to take it out. And then, or you can put it into a traditional IRA, which means that the distributions will be taxable. So depending on your tax bracket today versus the future, if you're going to retire or not, those kind of decisions will determine when the best, which is the best way. Should you do a Roth, a traditional? Okay. Now, the third thing is that you can take all the money now. Give me the money, right? So basically what you can do is you cash the whole thing in and pay all the taxes and just go buy a house or a Corvette or whatever it is you want to do with that. Usually we don't recommend that one, okay? That's generally the one that we want to avoid because depending on the size of the IRA or the retirement plan you inherited, the taxes could be significant. And, you know, we believe that you should pay taxes as far into the future as possible in most cases. Okay, so defer. But again, it depends on your income now versus then and that interplay. Now, the fourth thing that you can do, which this was going to sound crazy. You say, like, who on earth would do this? But you can do what's called disclaiming. That means you can choose not to take the money. What? Who would do that? But maybe you wanted to go to your brother and sister, or maybe you wanted to go, you know, so if you disclaim, if you say, no, I don't want the money, and maybe you want to avoid tax implications, you know, there might be a huge tax consequence to you if you took the money. It depends. Lots of different reasons why that could be the case. For most of you, you would probably never think about it, but you need to act within 9 months of the original owner's death if you want to do that, okay? So make sure you talk to a tax advisor about all of these things. But the key thing that I wanted to get across is that, and again, these are four things, but they depend on whether you're a spouse, a non-spouse, a family member that's not a spouse, or a non-family member also. So it gets pretty complex. So here's what I want you to do, okay? If you inherited an IRA, it's on a lot of the options available to you, that bell's been rung already, okay? So you can't unring the bell. So now your options are fewer, but you still have options to think about, and you have time to do it. It's not the end of the world, but a lot of the options that were available to you are gone. But nevertheless, you have that. Now, if you are about to inherit an IRA, then all the options are available to you, and what we generally recommend is don't make a decision on anything with regard to inheriting that IRA until you know what all your options are and everything you should be thinking about is, okay? Because once you know that, then you can decide, do I inherit the IRA? Do I make it into a spousal IRA? Do I make it into a Roth? Do I take the money? All those decisions you can make, but you need to do that, in my opinion, before you inherit it, if you know. Now, if it's sudden and you know, if you already inherited it, you still have options, but you need help with that, and in my opinion. So how do you do that? Well, if you go to our website, it's rpoa.com, you can click on Meet with an Advisor. If you do that, we'll sit down with you virtually. Hopefully soon we'll be able to do these things face-to-face, but right now it's still virtual. And what we'll do is we'll build an entire financial plan for you and incorporate this inheritance that you have into it, okay? Because once again, the context within which you're going to inherit that money is important. So for example, if you've got college expenses for a child or you wanted to buy a vacation home or whatever your goals are, then how you use that inherited money will impact the decision you make with regard to how you're going to inherit it, okay? So we can help you with all of that if you'd like, and you can go to our website. It's rpoa.com. Click on Meet with an Advisor. We'll schedule a time. Now, if we can help you, that's fantastic. We're so happy. And if not, we're going to tell you that too. Either way, no charge, no obligation, and we will part friends.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
And Bogey is right. It is, in fact, the beginning of a beautiful friendship. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to maximize Social Security benefits. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. We're going to talk now about Social Security, which is probably the number one thing that we do talk about with clients, I have to say. Over the course of time, it is a big, big deal for most people. And a lot of times, you know, there are so many different ways to apply for Social Security, depending on your age, depending on if you're married or not, differences in ages, all the differences in income, all those kind of things. And if you do not do it properly, you potentially could leave a lot of money on the table. And
Houston, we have a problem.
And yes, that would be a problem. So we don't want that to happen to you. So we have this segment on Social Security strategies. Now, if you have questions about Social Security, please send them to me. My website, my email address rather, is ken@moneymatters.net, and I'll endeavor to answer those questions for you. So here's a question. So I'm 67. I filed when I was 62. And my benefit is at 66 was $2,500. My wife now is also 67, and she's not filed, and she wants to wait till she's 70 to start filing. So, can she file a restricted application and get spousal benefits at age 66 so she can collect half of mine, or $1,250, and then she can wait until she's 70 to start collecting? Question number one. The answer to that is yes. That is called a restricted application. Now, I have to tell you a quick story. We've talked about the restricted application on this show many times before. It's a fantastic strategy that may apply for you. But I had a person I was talking to last week where she actually called Social Security and said she wanted to do this, and they said, no, you can't do it. And she's like, but I'm pretty sure I can. She told him, I heard Ken Marafe on the radio. Not a good thing. You don't want to tell him that. Just ask the questions. But anyway, she asked to talk to a supervisor. The supervisor got on with her and said the same thing. No, you can't do it. So I don't know what to tell you. I think the people in person are better trained than the people on the phone. You know, there are many instances where the ones on the phone give you wrong information, but I think they just didn't understand restricted application versus file and suspend, because they told her, I'm sorry, you're too old, you can't do it. And, you know, or too young rather. And no, that was file and suspend, and that, they're right, is no longer available, but that's not what she was asking for. So you have to be very specific when you talk to Social Security on the phone. It's better to visit in person, but once again, with COVID, you know, visiting in person is problematic. Now, with this person here, I got to tell you something else. If you did not file when you were 66, you can go and file a restricted application for spousal benefits, and you can actually get 6 months of missed benefits. You could get a nice check out of this if you apply properly. So once again, it's very complex. It's not something that you should do at home by yourself. These are many, many thousands of dollars if you don't do it properly that you could miss out on, and we don't want that for you. So if we have a seminar coming up, a virtual seminar, that I encourage you to attend if you are in the area of Social Security decision making. Okay, it's called Social Security Planning, and a very straightforward title, I have to say. And if you go to our website, you can sign up for that. Now, at the seminar, we'll be talking about the fact that you know, if you don't do it properly, as I said, you could leave thousands of dollars. We're going to go over the strategies with you. Hey, wait, it's not a bummer. It's not a bummer. We're going to talk about how to do it right. We're not going to give you bad stuff. We're going to give you good stuff. Man, I'm having fun talking with this crowd. Anyway, we'll also talk about when and how to take Social Security. We'll talk about the fact that the IRS wants to... Yeah, those guys, they want to tax 85% of your Social Security benefits. We want to show you how to beat that if it's at all possible. We want to talk with you about how to use income strategies to maximize your benefits. Should you take it now, 62, 66, when you're 70, all those kind of decisions. Also, if you're working, what did they do then? We want to go over that with you. So we'll have tons of information that'll help you to make a good decision when it comes to when and how to take Social Security. So it's our virtual seminar on Social Security. You can find it on our website, rpoa.com, and so we'll look forward to helping you with that, okay? So,
yeah.
Hey, is right. So thank you for that. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to ask you to think about this question. What is worse, losing money or missing out on gains? Which one do you think is worse for someone over 50, retired, or retiring soon? So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. Now, as a firm, what we do is we help our clients with income tax planning, estate planning. We help them make decisions with regard to their insurance. So there's a lot of that, social security strategies, when and how to take it. We deal with a whole, you know, the entire panoply, if you will, of retirement planning topics. But one of the most important is managing our clients' money. And so we believe that if you're going to do something properly, you have to have a set of principles, a set of rules that guide your decision making. And that way you don't get swayed in the wind when adversity comes or whatever. You know what you need to do, and you can look back to your principles. And so we have 8 investment principles. And what I'm doing each week is I'm going through one of them with you. And we believe in them, so hopefully they'll benefit you, and perhaps you might adopt them yourself. Or better yet, have us do it for you. How about that? So this week we are on number 5, but let me go over numbers 1 through 4 first. Number 1 is we're committed to having your money last as long as you do. That's a different game, money lasting as long as you do, as money growing as fast as possible. Number 2, and it ties into that, growth is important, but protection of principal is more important. Now, if you want color on these in context, we podcasted all of these, okay? The 3 is the goal of our strategy is unlimited upside with a tolerable downside, okay? So we want to participate as much as possible, but protect on the downside to make it as tolerable as possible. Number 4 is it is better to have our strategy and not need it than to need it and not have it, okay? It's kind of like insurance. Better to have insurance and not need it, and you think, okay, why did I even have that, than the opposite, right? This week, we're talking about number 5, which is the invest and protect strategy comes with opportunity cost in certain market conditions. So let me describe what opportunity cost means. Opportunity cost means you could have made more money, or you missed out on losses. It can go either way, but opportunity cost means I could have made more money and I didn't by doing something. Okay, I missed out. So that's the opportunity that I didn't get. That's opportunity cost. Okay, so with our strategy, for example, our strategy said to sell in November of 2007. We told our clients to get out, and they stayed out, and we told them to stay out until June of 2009, a year and a half during the credit crisis. And so our clients who followed our advice did not participate in the big crash. However, our buy signal didn't come until June of 2009. And the market bottomed in March of 2009. And so there was a big gain from March of 2009 until our strategy said it was time to buy. That's called opportunity cost. Okay, so during 3 months, when the market is zooming, if you're not in it and you're saying, hey, why am I not in that? You know, so you're feeling like I'm missing out, and that's called opportunity cost. That happened last year as well with the pandemic. Our strategy said to sell on March 10th, which was, you know, the day before the WHO said that we have a pandemic. And guess what? The market went down dramatically after we sold, after we said to sell. And but then it bounced back rapidly. As it was coming back, you know, we missed out on the potential gains had we nailed the very bottom or whatever it was and been able to participate in that entire thing. So yes, having a strategy to protect yourself will come with opportunity cost. But you know, so does diversification. So does being conservative. If you think about it, if you diversify your portfolio, and you say, you know what, I'm going to be 60 stock, 40 bond, for example, and the 60% goes up, you know, 20% that year, but you're only in 60% of it, you had opportunity cost on the other 40. So therefore, you shouldn't even diversify because there's opportunity cost doing that. You should be as aggressive as possible at all times so that you don't ever have opportunity cost. But that's not the way we think. When we work with people, as I said, who are over 50, retired, or retiring soon, and for us, getting every single dollar of gain is, you know, we'd like to do that, but if we have to do that at the expense of losing what we have and not being able to enjoy our second childhood without parental supervision in the process, it's not worth it. So for us, we're willing to give up some of the upside in exchange for giving up a lot of the downside if that's what we can do. Okay, so that's our philosophy. Now, if you are over 50, I would say that that's a philosophy that you should have. Just saying. Okay, I have seen too many people that are way too aggressive, don't think about protecting what they've built, and then what happens is they get caught in a bad down spiral like Y2K in 2008. I would say most of you listening to this show probably have went through those guys. And if one comes in the future. Now, you know, one of the things that I'm hearing from a lot of people is this a house of cards that we're living in right now? Is this market about to crash? I mean, we're borrowing and spending and borrowing and spending trillions and trillions of dollars.
You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky?
And he's right. Do you feel lucky? And I think that is the question you should ask if you don't have a strategy to protect yourself on the downside. Do you feel lucky? See, I don't want to rely on luck or hope and a prayer. I want to make sure that I have a strategy in place to help protect on the downside. So, if you are over 50, retired, or retiring soon, I would encourage you to go to our website. We have articles, podcasts, videos on the subject. But more importantly, you have the ability to sign up to attend our upcoming seminar on retirement planning in uncertain times. So we're going to talk there about how to design your retirement plan from a cash flow perspective, how to determine your inflows and outflows, your budget. We also talk about your magic number. Do you have enough money to retire on? We talk about your hurdle rate, which is the how much risk do you need to take with your investments? We talk about how to diversify. We talk about inflation. Do you think inflation's coming, by the way, with borrowing what? What have we spent so far? What, $7 trillion? And we're about to do another two or three more. Do you think inflation's going to come? Maybe you need a strategy to address that. What about taxes? Do you think taxes are going to go up? We have five strategies to reduce your taxes. So all of this is at our retirement planning seminar, virtual seminar at rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the irrevocable trust and why it may not be a terrible thing. It's our estate tip of the week. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters. And I am Ken Morafe. This is the part of the show where we talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. And that is also known as estate planning. So this week, we're going to talk about, and this is because I was talking to someone about, irrevocable trusts and how they can have a place in your estate planning. And they said, irrevocable trust, does that mean it can never be changed? And I said, well, yeah. Oh, that's terrible. I don't want that. My kids and all that, they can never change the trust. And I said, that's correct. No, I don't like that. Well, it's not as bad as you think, so I want to go over it with you. But first, Jack, can you play it?
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire.
And of course, that is Tony Bennett with Rags to Riches. And you know, the estate taxes and probate and all that kind of stuff, it's actually designed to do the exact opposite. It's designed to take you from riches to rags. And we do not want that to happen to you. So every week at this time, we have our estate tip of the week. So let's talk about irrevocable trusts. So the word irrevocable means you can't revoke it, you can't change it. It is cast in stone, although it's written on paper, but it's still cast in stone. Anyway, so you can't really change what the words are. But the important thing is, what are the words? Okay, so let's talk about the words in the trust, and then I think you'll have a better understanding. So there are four things, actually five. So the first four are in the acronym HEMS, H-E-M-S, HEMS. That stands for health, education, maintenance, and support. Most well-written, in my opinion, trusts have the language in them that allows for HEMS. So what HEMS means is that as the beneficiary of the trust, you can spend the money for your health, your education, your maintenance, and your support. So what does that even mean? Well, we know what health means, we know what education means, but what does maintenance and support mean? It's pretty open to interpretation, you know? I mean, so, and it's up to the trustee to say, yeah, it is, that is maintenance, that is support. So it is very, very up to the trustee to make that decision. So you have a lot of flexibility in terms of how that money can be distributed out. So it's not as bad as it sounds. Now, there's another part of the trust that an irrevocable trust that is well written, again, in my opinion, has. And that is, I call it an escape clause. Okay, so the escape clause is where it says that the trustee has the ability to move the money out of the existing trust and move it into a new trust, has to have the same beneficiaries, everything's the same, but this new trust can have different language. Now, normally that is done because we don't know what tax laws are going to be in the future. We don't know what the rules are going to be. So you may have language in the trust that says, I want all the income distributed out to the beneficiaries, but then it turns out that there's some tax law that says, if you do that, we're going to tax 90% of that stuff, and now the trust is irrevocable. You can't change that one, but you have the escape clause. You can move the money out of the old trust into a new trust that says, same beneficiaries, same everything, except this one allows us to stop those income distributions or whatever it may be.
So it is miraculous.
I like that. That's good. So in a trust, if you are designing one, you, in my opinion, again, make sure you talk to your attorney, your person with regard to that. But HEMS is, I think, very important. Health, education, maintenance, support are what income can be distributed for. Leaves a lot of flexibility. The other thing is the escape clause. And the escape clause, I think, is very important because, you know, I've been doing this for almost three decades now, and I have seen the estate tax laws and the income tax laws change, I don't even know how many times. It seems like every new president comes with a whole new set of tax laws and everything else. It all changes, and sometimes it changes even twice during one president. So that's my opinion. Talk to your professionals about it, or better yet, go to our website. It's rpoa.com. And click on Meet with an Advisor. That's where you can sit down with one of our retirement planners. And they're not lawyers. They're not going to do your documents for you or anything like that. But they can help you to think through your estate planning, your income tax planning, your Social Security planning. We can help you to think about if you're ready to retire, if you have enough or not. If you are retired, where do you get your income from? How do you protect what you've built from the next market crash? And by the way, you know, I've been asking this whole show. Do you think that this market is a house of cards? Do you think that this whole thing is going to come crashing down? I mean, can we keep spending like this? Is it possible to just go on into infinity with trillions and trillions of dollars? And now we've got the stimulus package coming. And then now I just heard Friday morning an infrastructure spend. That's going to be another trillion. Let's add it all up, kids. Do you think we can keep doing that and the market will go up forever? If you think that it's possible we'll have a crash in the future, we have a strategy to address that. So rpoa.com to register or to visit with one of our advisors, rpoa.com. All right, we got to wrap it up. The show's over already. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I've enjoyed doing it for you. We'll see you next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
Is this the end?
Of course not. It's only the beginning.
Information presented should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any of the securities mentioned. None of this show's content should be viewed as personalized investment advice. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the strategies presented. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and therefore can be no assurance that any specific investment or strategy will be suitable or profitable for a client's portfolio. The tax and estate planning information offered on this program is general in nature. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Sound effects or anecdotes should not be construed as an endorsement of Ken Morafe or MMWKM Advisors LLC. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability.